Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
And we thought today wouldn't be a football Friday, Chris Canty. But unfortunately, it's Knobservations and Football Friday all wrapped up into one to start the show. So we go around and we say pleasantries to each other. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
Good morning, Dave Rothenberg. Dave, tell me, what are the odds that you could have two cornerbacks in the same draft within a calendar year both be involved with gun violence?
Very little, and not only both involved, but on completely different ends of the spectrum, right? One guy, wrong place, wrong time. Another guy, still at large as we open the show this morning.
Yeah, but you could say the same thing about DeAndre Baker in terms of wrong place, wrong time, because what the hell are you doing at a party when we're in the middle of the pandemic, and why do you feel like you need to have a gun at said party?
Well, it sounds like two parties. It wasn't just one party. They lost the money in the original party and then had to go back. They
decided
go to another party on a different day and get the money back, and have the getaway cars. Hey, Dave, look at it this way. I mean, you try to draft a lockdown corner, and I mean, you just missed. You got a locked up corner.
Yeah.
So playing for the mean machine. Longest yard.
This cannot be great for Dave Gettleman's batting average.
Batting average? I mean, this don't you look at this, if things go badly, that this will be like the straw that breaks this whole thing? He moved up to take a corner that, mind you, this is not all of a sudden there's issues. There were multiple teams that wanted no part of DeAndre Baker because there were red flags surrounding him last draft. And now he's involved in this. And mind you, still hasn't even turned himself in. I mean, the story broke last night and he's still, I guess fair to say, at large right now down in Florida.
Yeah, it's still a bad look. It's probably not as bad as Quentin Dunbar's, who actually did a press conference with the local media via Zoom yesterday morning, and it had the warrant by the Miramar Police Department issued yesterday afternoon. So, I mean, he said he wanted to feel like he was wanted, and I guess he got his wish, because now them boys is looking after him. They're trying to get him back to the precinct to answer some questions about what went down the last couple of days. But, I mean, this is just... I just don't understand what these guys were thinking, putting themselves in that situation and then doing what they did, brandishing a firearm and threatening people, DeAndre Baker ordering to shoot somebody if they walk into the party. Like, it's just unbelievable that you got a guy that's in the NFL, first-round draft pick, signed a $10 million contract with a $5 million signing bonus that's going to jeopardize his entire career for what? A few bucks and some watches. I try to defend these athletes, man, but this is something that's indefensible. This is absolutely ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. It really is. And this is, and I feel bad for Joe Judge, because this isn't even his guy. Now he's got to deal with this guy, and God knows what's going to happen. I'm sure what do you mean he doesn't?
No, he's not going to deal with him.
No, he's not going to be on the team.
That's it.
He's not going to be on the team.
No, this is it. No, they're going to cut him.
Yeah, he's done.
You just think that's it?
He's just...
DeAndre Baker will not put on a Giants uniform again.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, this is all allegedly, but if this is true and what he's facing, he's done. He's not going to be. You will never see him in a Giants uniform again.
Will you see him in the NFL again? Is the question.
That's a possibility.
Depends on what happens.
It's a possibility. We don't know. I don't think we have enough information, but based on what we do have, and based on the fact that the police department did issue an arrest warrant, there is enough evidence to show wrongdoing, questionable judgment, and all of those things on DeAndre Baker's part. Like, there's no reason that he should be threatening people at a party with a gun. Like, you can stop right there. That's enough for a team to decide to part company with you, especially a team that's trying to shift the culture like the New York Giants.
Right. Some culture shift you have going on right now. I mean, this is awful for Dave Gettleman. And we'll talk to Renan. He'll join us at 10:30 this morning. There were rumors rumbling around this guy at the draft last year that he's not a good guy, and teams wanted no part of him.
Yeah, it was being reported. And that's what, I mean, I think at the time, too, when we talked about this, and, I mean, the idea that the Giants traded back up and Gettleman saying they got the best corner in the draft, I mean, his whole spiel lately has been, you know, we need to change the culture inside that locker room. And then when, I mean, even leading into the draft, you're reading, you know, scouting reports, you know, you're listening to NFL Network. I mean, some of the reports about DeAndre Baker didn't scream great for the locker room. I mean, not taking the combine seriously, entitled, I mean, you name it. And then you hear what, I mean, Jordan will talk about it, but I mean, this is something we asked him on numerous occasions because DeAndre Baker was that bad last season, you know, talking about, you know, falling asleep in meetings.
Right. Like, and
know,
apparently hasn't shown up for a virtual meeting yet this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a carryover from what you heard, you know, that he was dealing with or the kind of guy he was at Georgia. So it was just more of the same. Like, they just expected it would change, and obviously it didn't.
Yeah, Dave, the virtual meetings didn't fit in his social calendar. He's got too many day parties and cookouts to go to, apparently.
And we can joke about it because no one was hurt. I mean, I can't believe that we're talking about this on a Friday, but it did. I mean, it happened. I mean, the thought at this point, under the current circumstances, that this is something, I mean, going into your second year, that would ever cross your mind. Like, you lost the 70 grand playing cards. It's over. It's done. That you would now, you know, decide, this is two NFL players, that it was going to be a good idea to go back with guns
mm-hmm.
and steal the money back and then have the three getaway cars waiting.
It's you unbelievable. Can't make it up. No, it's awful. And I mean, if you read the stories, he told one of the guys with guns to shoot someone.
Shouldn't have put himself in that position in the first place, Dave. He shouldn't have been at the first party where he lost the money. He shouldn't have went back to try to get the money by force if necessary. That's absolutely ridiculous. Just take the L. So many times we talk about it, man, just take the L. You have too much to lose as an athlete. You're in too good of a position. You're living a lot of people's dreams. You are a first-round draft pick for one of the flagship franchises in the NFL. Like, why would you jeopardize your entire career, your livelihood, something that you worked your entire life to have the opportunity to do? Why would you jeopardize that over an amount of money that's meaningless, essentially, Dave? I mean, what, you know, a couple thousand dollars? You're talking about $60,000-$70,000? How is your career worth that amount of money?
I don't think he thinks it through.
It just,
well, that's part of the problem. I mean, but that's part of the problem. I mean, you say what you want. I mean, what you saw on the football field, I mean, that's, I mean, it wasn't great. And then all of a sudden to have the stories come out about him falling asleep in meetings and then to see this. I mean, for me, what's the end game? You lost the 70. Well, what's to be gained by going back with guns?
Well, he probably thinks, right, in his mind, nothing's going to happen to me. I'm an athlete. I'm untouchable. I'll go in there. I'll get my money back and, you know, I'll wash my hands of it. It'll all be done.
There's no way
he just committed armed robbery.
Dave, there's no way he can think that, man. I hear what you're saying, but there's no way he can believe that.
Then
because
what
as a professional
do you think
athlete, you understand you got the most to lose in any room you walk in.
But Chris, how can you explain his thought process of going into a party with a ski mask and a weapon and demanding money from these people with getaway cars waiting?
Dave, I don't think he put a lot of thought into it at all. I think this is just one of those things where he said, you know what, it's the principle of the matter. I'm not going to let nobody take advantage of me, and this is what I'm going to do. He didn't think this thing through. He didn't think about what's going to happen once they got away with everything that they came to get. Clearly, this is not something that they expected to happen for a police department to issue arrest warrants and to have to negotiate your surrender. He wasn't thinking he had to do that. He wasn't thinking that that would be a part of what he went through when he went to that party. So, yeah, this is one of those things where he was mindless, and now he's going to have to pay for it with his career.
Potentially, yeah.
No, not potentially.
Yeah, that's,
I don't think
his career is going to be completely derailed. Even if he comes back to play in the NFL, it'll never be like it's set up for him right now before this incident happened.
No, certainly financially it won't be. And if he comes back at all.
I mean, here's the problem, too.
He had a $10 million contract.
Yes, yes, which he's willing to, I mean, which obviously he was willing to risk over what they end up getting, which is, you know, about $12,000 in cash and four watches. That's what doesn't make any sense to me. You lost the 70, but I mean, as far as what you could lose long term, I mean, because this is going to, I mean, it's bound. Are you going to go into.
But they're going to get all that bonus money back. That bonus money is coming back. The contract is going to be null and void. Like, this is one of those things where you violate the personal conduct policy of the NFL. They can recoup the bonus money that they've already paid out.
I mean, how can you just sit there and do the math? Like, you're talking about two NFL players, right? Two NFL players. DeAndre Baker was set up to probably, I mean, again, if he had, you know, a good camp, whatever camp looks like, to be a starting a starting corner.
That was the plan, of course.
That was the plan, right? You're a first-round pick. You're going to get every opportunity to be the starting corner. And then you have his cohort, Quentin Dunbar, who just gets traded, right? I mean, as you sit there talking about, okay, we just lost 70 grand. You're upset. I get it. It's 70 grand. But how does that math add up to you? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to get these guns. We're going to go over to this, you know, 2 days later, we're going to go over to this party. We're going to rob them of everything they have. And then we're going to have the Mercedes, the BMW, and the Lamborghini outside waiting so we can take off. In case we, just in case we get into a high-speed chase, we have the horsepower to all run whoever's chasing.
Thank God that didn't happen. Thank God we didn't add that on.
I mean, what are we doing? This is real life, man. This is not, I mean, you're not filming a movie. You're not a character.
This ain't Grand Theft Auto.
And Furious. No, I'm just going to go hit the streets quick. I mean, this isn't Vince Vaughn in The Breakup. I'm going to go hit the streets. I mean, this is real life. I mean, you're sitting there ordering one of your accomplices to shoot a person if they act up. I mean, what are we doing here?
It's unbelievable.
No, this is bad.
But
man.
That's why character is a big part of the evaluation in the pre-draft process, guys.
But their concerns were about this guy. That's the thing. It's not like all of a sudden it was an angel who's acted like we've never seen before. I mean, every scattering report you read about DeAndre Baker was, you know what? This is a worry. This kind of stuff is a concern with him. And then the Giants move up and take him. And then we got the best cornerback in the draft. He's loud. I mean, not one thing about this guy has panned out. He was lousy as a rookie. He was not a good teammate from all reports. He doesn't show up for meetings. He doesn't show up for the virtual meetings. And now this?
Yeah, it's all bad, Dave. I mean, there were concerns about his overall character, but also his sports character coming out of Georgia. I mean, one of the things that we said about him in the draft process, he's probably the best man-to-man cover corner, but we don't know how great he is within coverage schemes. We don't know how great he is in zone. We don't know any of those things. And on top of that, he's not a guy that's focused in the classroom. He's not a guy that works hard to improve his overall craft. But then on top of that, you had the character issues away from the field about the guy that's getting into trouble. Not necessarily about the right things when he's outside of the overall structure of the program. And all of those things that we heard about from DeAndre Baker in Georgia are things that we've seen from DeAndre Baker in a Giants uniform. And at this point, as an organization, I guess you have to do your due diligence over the weekend, you know, the next 48 to 72 hours and see what happens. But I think you have enough information to make the decision that DeAndre Baker should not be a part of what the New York Giants are trying to build moving forward.
Yeah, this is probably one of those instances where DeAndre Baker and Quentin Dunbar wish that there were actually OTAs to be at to keep themselves out of this kind of trouble. I mean, Dave, you gave up 3 picks to trade back up and get DeAndre Baker.
Oh, I know. I mean, he's the big loser here, and number 2 is Dave Gettleman. I mean, you're Gettleman. You look ridiculous today. You gave up 3 picks to move up. It's a first-round pick. He was awful, and now he might not be here? It's like throwing it away.
Yeah, but I would eliminate the might. I mean, they can get back the money. He's not going to be a New York Giant. That's it. Not might. He's not going to, DeAndre Baker will not be a New York Giant.
I agree with that.
This is an awful look.
Yeah. By the time we get to week 1 of the regular season, DeAndre Baker won't be on the team.
Great. I mean, you're Gettleman, you look foolish. You look ridiculous. There's a guy fighting for his job. He had 3 first-round picks last year. One of them might not be on the team anymore because of his own stupidity?
Yeah, Dave. I mean, that's what we're looking at right now. And if you're Dave Gettleman, this is probably one of the worst possible headlines that you could have had this entire offseason. And so, I mean, we heard about DeAndre Baker last year not being focused and how there's going to be a lot of pressure coming into this season. A lot of eyes are going to be on him. It's going to be a higher degree of scrutiny because the expectations are going to be a lot higher. And then he goes and does something like this. Looking at it from the Giants' perspective, I don't understand as an organization how you could justify trying to bring him back and allowing him to continue to be a member of this team. I just don't see it.
Well, especially when you had Chris. Did you see the post? Did you see the post article today?
Yeah.
Some of the quotes in the post. You see what Tony Pauline said when he was at the Senior Bowl?
Yeah.
He was talking to. He was actually talking to people from the Giants at the Senior Bowl, and they didn't tell me he was a bad guy, but they did say he's dumb as dirt. He struggled taking instruction and coaching. He basically likes to do it his own way.
Great. So what you're saying is this is an unbelievable athlete, and we're hoping that it translates to the NFL. And if it doesn't, there's really no room for improvement because he's just not capable of it or doesn't want to.
Well, Dave, we were talking about this when the Giants drafted him, though. We said that, you know, this is one of those high-risk, high-reward type of dudes, and you got to make sure that you're introducing him into the right locker room so he has leadership, so he does the right things. The Giants don't have any leadership structure in that locker room. It's the blind leading the blind. And you're in that position because the general managers, and I'm not just going to put it all on Dave Gettleman, a lot of this is on Jerry Reese, they didn't draft well. And so they weren't able to have continuity with the championship culture that they had in place from the 2007 and 2011 teams. So because you had that interruption, because you had to rely on free agents who are essentially mercenaries coming from other places, you weren't able to build a sustainable winning culture. So that means that you weren't in position as an organization to take this kind of a risk. Because when you bring in a questionable character guy and you put him in a shaky locker room, you get incidents like this happening. It's unfortunate, and I feel for DeAndre Baker, but you got to be accountable. And unfortunately, it feels like it's going to cost him his career with the New York Giants.
And a whole lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, it's
and maybe his freedom. And maybe
yeah,
his freedom.
Yeah.
And future earnings. And again, I mean, as a Jets fan, I'm going to have to deal with the shrapnel now because all of a sudden, I mean, they have a need. And who knows previous relationship if Logan Ryan doesn't end up on the Giants instead of the Jets now.
Well, we already got your backup quarterback in Colt McCoy. I guess that would be fitting.
Great. Perfect. Awesome.
Hey. You made a commitment. You made a promise. You were not going to be Mr. Negative when it came to the Jets.
I'm not being negative about the Jets. I'm just saying that not only you as a Giants fan are going to have to deal with this, I wouldn't be surprised if, as a Jets fan, I'm going to have to deal with the shrapnel now because instead of getting Logan Ryan, he may end up with the Giants instead.
But if you're the Jets, why would you even float it out there to Manish that this is already a done deal and Logan Ryan's going to be on your team? It's just a matter of putting pen to paper. Like Logan Ryan said, I know this is a sidebar, guys, but Logan Ryan said, yeah, I'm interested, but I'm still open for business. It's ridiculous. If you're going to sign a guy, you might want to make sure that the guy is committed to signing with you before you announce it.
That wouldn't be the first time it happened. I mean, again, different GM, but it wouldn't be the first time that it happened.
Ridiculous is what it is. But I digress.
This is not beat up on the Jets. This is beat up on the Giants.
No, we're not beating up on the Jets. It's the reality. I mean, Logan Ryan, I mean, again, you connect the dots. He's from the area. He went to Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has a relationship, a previous relationship with Joe Judge. There's a need there. So now, I mean, that's who knows what happens.
No, on top of that, Logan Ryan would be the kind of guy that Joe Judge would want to help him build his program and establish his culture.
Exactly right.
And like this is the reason why you would pick up the phone and call a guy like Logan Ryan, because clearly you need leadership, especially on the back end of your defense.
It's screaming that you need leadership after last night, right? Oh my God! I mean, you can't make.
No,
this
you're
stuff.
Laughing to keep from crying, Dave. I know how you feel.
I'm throwing the lacrosse ball to Alex in the basement. I start getting texts. I'm like, oh, I wonder what these are about. He's like, did you see the story? And then I start to read about it. It's like, you got to be kidding me!
Just don't even understand what the hell you're doing at a party in the first place.
Certainly with a weapon, rob people.
Well, first of all, if you feel like you got to take a gun somewhere, then you probably need to question whether or not you need to be going to that place. That's the first thing. But secondly, why are you putting yourself in this position knowing that there is a global pandemic going on? To hell with what the governor of Florida is saying about how they're going to reopen businesses and they're going to do things in terms of trying to attract other pro sports teams. You're a professional athlete. You got to protect your interests. When you go to those parties, those types of situations, your interests are not aligned with the interests of everybody going to those places. Why are you even there?
But Chris, he allegedly went to a party and robbed it with a weapon and a getaway car. You think social distancing is something that he's concerned about? Clearly, he's not like you and I and Rick happen or anybody else happens to be.
No, Dave, you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I just think that these are some of the things that should be, you know, factored in when you're deciding what you're going to do. I mean, if you're a professional athlete, even though you're not at the team's facility, you are responsible for getting ready for the upcoming season. And I'm sorry, with the pandemic that's going on, you're probably better off staying to yourself and keeping your family and your loved ones close. If you want to be around them, that's one thing. But going to a party, going to an environment that you don't control, you're just putting yourself at so much risk. I just don't understand why you would do that based on where we're at right now as a country. That part doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it's too bad he didn't put as much preparation into the playbook as he did this plan.
Right. I mean, the getaway car is more preparation than he had with the Giants.
For the entire season.
Right.
Yeah, and it wasn't one party. I mean, he went to the first party, lost his money, and then decided 2 days later he needed to go back. I mean, he was going to go rob the party. This wasn't, I need to bring a gun because I'm afraid for my safety.
No, this is a premeditated, I want to get my money back.
No, Rick, what I was saying was, why did he go to the first party in the first place? That's my point. I don't understand that. That doesn't make
sense. Apparently. Well, I mean, apparently he put the play cards
and
everything else. Apparently not very well.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. All right, let's get to the phones. People are lined up. They want to talk about the Giants and the dysfunction. 800-919-3776. Eric in Queens, lead us off on a Friday. You're on 98.7.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
We're okay, Eric.
Yeah, I have a question. Why do these athletes, love the media? Because every time you turn around, these people are off on their off season. They go and do something bad to get themselves in trouble. This guy right here, he should have known better. What the world are you doing at a party trying to get yourself in trouble that's going to make it bad for your career? I don't get it. I really don't get it. Help me out with this. Why do they put themselves in this situation? What's the point?
I don't think there
is
a point.
That's what I have to say.
Because they don't think. Just because they're great athletes and they're, I mean, blessed with, you know, physical gifts and everything else doesn't mean that they're the smartest people or they make the best decisions. I mean, this
and
kid
some
had
athletes think they're above the law, too. That's a part of it.
And I think that's
sure
part of the mindset.
Of that factored in.
Yeah, I think that's part of the mindset. I mean, how many times have we talked about this with, you know, players returning, you know, to play now with the fear of COVID-19? Like, there are some guys that say, you know what? It won't affect me. Like, if I get it, I'll get through it. That's just the mind. Like, this is there's a thought with a lot of athletes that, you know, they can overcome any obstacle. And there's, you know, for a lot of them, I mean, that's sometimes being, you know, is part of what gets them in the most trouble. Is they don't think it's, I mean, they think, like Chris said, above the law, but I mean, they're not susceptible to what happens in real life.
Well,
yeah,
the rules
it's
don't.
It's never going to happen to me, right?
Well, they think that the rules don't apply to them, right? They get special treatment. I mean, even when you're talking about high school age athletes, you know, they're identified as being special, being stars, and they're treated as such. And they get pampered, they get coddled all the way through. You talk about them going to college, and, you know, I'm sure that college coaches cover up things that happen on campuses all the time. And it's one of those things that gradually leads up to an incident like what happened over the past couple of days with DeAndre Baker. After you get away with things for such a long period of time, all of a sudden you find yourself becoming bolder, you find yourself taking more risk, and you end up committing armed robbery and aggravated assault. This didn't just start.
No. Now, I don't know that we thought this was going to happen, but there's a lot of people that didn't have a good feeling about DeAndre Baker. A lot of people.
You got to be real comfortable, Dave, to roll up to a party with people and have a gun and threaten to shoot people and steal money and valuables.
I mean, there's no explanation. But other than he just didn't think it was going to ever come back to bite him. They bet $10 million, though.
Well, which is part of the bigger problem, though. I mean, this is almost, I mean, you can't even, like, I mean, I get it. You know, athletes used to getting away with certain things, but this is, I mean, above and beyond. Like, who thinks they can get away with this? Like, I mean, you just, 2 days earlier, you lost 70 grand. Now, all of a sudden, I mean, you just show up. I mean, you probably know the people, I would imagine. I mean, you're at the party gambling with them a couple days before. I'm sure they know you. Or maybe when you left, you were pissed because you lost 70 grand or the way you lost it. And then you just roll up 2 days later, and like you're not, no one's going to know it's you. I mean, it's like the Snickers commercial, right, where the guy shows up with a pantyhose on his head.
Yeah,
you can see you can see right through the pantyhose.
Steve, I don't think that's going to work.
They're probably like, DeAndre, is that you? No, it's not DeAndre. Just shut your mouth. Give me your watch. Like, what could possibly have happened during this robbery that would have ever thought you to believe that it was going to be worth your time to go do this?
The only thing I can think of is he didn't think it through, and he, of course, didn't think the repercussions would get to him. That otherwise, what's the explanation?
But how was that possible?
I don't know.
Like,
how
once you rough,
how can we? Like, I don't go to parties and rob them. How can I answer these questions?
Yeah, but even this, though, like, once you rob the party and you show, like, once you rob them, right, and then you run out, I'm sure at some point someone in the party goes, you know, once the all clear, go running to see, you know, where the guys, you know, where the guys just went, the cars they just jumped into. The guys, he's in a Lamborghini. Like, you don't know which one of your buddies that was at the party drives a Lamborghini to connect the dots?
Of course you do.
Of course you do. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. Let's continue along. Paulie in Newark. Paul, you're next up on 98.7.
Morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
All right.
I'm just kind of baffled by this. You know, life-changing opportunities still won't change a person's mindset to do the right thing. I mean, this is chump change compared, you know, to the contract you had. You know, athletes spend their money on nonsense to begin with anyway. So you take your losses and, you know, I just think based off of the lack of commitment, the lack of, you know, everything that this kid had, I don't see him playing another down of football in the NFL. I think teams stay away from this kid.
This is exactly, it's things like this that make it impossible for fans to ever side with players when it's
yeah
money that we're talking about.
Asinine decision.
Exactly right. I mean, you just heard that caller. He makes a great point. I mean, you have everything you worked for your entire life, right? All the blood, sweat, and tears, all the sacrifices you made, your family
and
made,
you
and everything
won.
Else.
And you
and
won.
You won. And you won. And now you decide to throw it all away because you felt like losing the 70 grand was enough to go commit armed robbery.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous, Rick. But the one thing I'll say, man, is that this is not reflective of the majority of players in the NFL and professional athletes as a whole. Like, most guys do the right thing. You have a couple of guys that are outliers, and clearly DeAndre Baker is one of them. But most guys that play professional sports don't think that they can get away with armed robbery.
No, you're right. No, listen, but how many times have we tried to incorporate, especially with, you know, what we're dealing with right now, right? Like, observations change from we go right into did it happen in Florida
yep.
to good stories. Then you go athletes giving back.
Yeah, well, this is the trifecta right now. I mean, this is a did it happen in Florida?
I'll say yes. I'll say it did. Something like this sounds like Florida. Yeah.
This definitely sounds like Florida.
Yeah. No, but the point being is that all those good stories, yeah, you like to hear them, but those aren't the stories that people, I mean, that create.
They're not
salacious. Exactly right. Yeah. And this is, I mean, for, you know, people read the story. Every channel you turn on, people are talking about it. So now it becomes a big story, and you associate DeAndre Baker with, you know, professional athletes, as opposed to focusing on the majority of guys who do the right thing.
Sure. Sure. Can you imagine what Mr. Mara must be thinking this morning?
Oh.
I mean, he must be livid right now. We're living through a pandemic, for God's sake.
He probably did them a favor, though, Dave. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, if you have giant staff down at the Senior Bowl saying this kid is dumb as dirt and, you know, his teammates are chewing him out for being lazy, I mean, what he did was he gave him reason to cut him, and they're going to cut him and get the money back.
It's unbelievable. But I mean, you're Mr. Mara. You shouldn't have to be thinking about this thing right now with everything going on in the world, that this is something you have to be giving your attention to. He must be livid.
I'm sure he is. I mean, you've heard reports this week that the team is trying to find alternative sites for training camp because they don't know whether or not they're going to be able to have training camp at the facility once we get to late July, August. I mean, in dealing with this pandemic, it's a logistics nightmare for NFL teams, especially in states that are still on lockdown. So on top of having to deal with that, if you're Mr. Mara, you now got to deal with a first-round pick from a year ago, having four counts of aggravated assault and four counts of armed robbery. That's what comes across your desk this morning? Come on, man.
Awful. It really is. It's
they got to cut bait. They got to cut bait. I don't see how they have a whole lot of options. If DeAndre Baker did what's being reported and what he's charged with, I don't know how the Giants as an organization could justify keeping him. I don't know how that's possible.
No, he's not good enough to keep. I don't care if you use the first round pick and traded away three draft picks. First of all, he's not good enough to have to deal with the headache that this is going to involve. And second of all, this is not something that you want to have to continue to talk about.
Mm-mm.
Like, you cut ties, it's over. You know, we don't talk about players that aren't on the Giants, and you'll be done with it. I mean, the bigger issue for ownership now is you're on the record saying that your GM has to increase his batting average, which just doesn't do. And then, you know, he's trying to sell to you, I would imagine, because John Mara is involved in making these draft decisions, is that, you know, we're focused on culture, right? We want good people in the building. Okay, if I'm John Mara, I'm saying, well, let's take a step back here. We're going to trade three picks to move back up to take a guy who has red flags all over the place. I mean, and biggest of the red flags are, you know, he's lazy. I mean, he's entitled. Doesn't seem like a great culture guy. So, I mean, wouldn't you imagine that in the war room, Dave Gettleman has to be going to bat for DeAndre Baker?
Of course.
Oh, of course he has to be, yeah.
So this
and
makes
he
him
traded
look, I mean,
up to get
works.
Him, Rick.
Oh, yeah. I know. You don't have to tell me.
Well, I just think that this puts even more pressure on Dave Gettleman coming into the season. Like, at this point, they're not going to get rid of him. He's going to be the general manager throughout the regular season, whatever regular season that we have.
You say that, but I mean, this is very Jetsy, Chris.
They're not
this is
very Rick,
Jetsy.
Rick, they're not gonna fire him. If they kept him this long, they're not going to fire him. He is going to be the general manager of this team throughout the offseason, especially with everything that we're dealing with. Could you imagine on top
Mike
of
McCagnan.
Could you imagine
it?
On top of a pandemic having to worry about searching for a new general manager?
They're not going to fire him.
They're not going to fire him. Like, if they were going to do that, that would have happened right after the end of last year. So the fact that he's still the general manager, they'll give him until the end of the upcoming season. But depending on how this Giants team does, is going to determine, you know, whether he's going to be the GM in 2021 and moving forward. All I'm saying is this puts even more pressure on him to perform and his team to do well.
Look, an awful look. Jordan Renan is going to join us in a moment.
Very Jetsy.
Stop it. He just tweeted. Stop.
Very Jetsy. You had the Robbie Anderson issue. We had the guy driving drunk the wrong way in the tunnel.
G-I-A-N-G-S.
You let Mike McCagnan spend the money, make the draft picks.
Jets.
They're not going to fire him now.
They're not going to
fire him
now.
You might want it, but it's not going to happen. Jordan Renan just tweeted, as of around 10 o'clock this morning, neither DeAndre Baker nor Quentin Dunbar had turned themselves in or been arrested at this point, according to Miramar Police Department. There are arrest warrants out for both men. Santiago, you really are a piece of work.
That is a gem, though, Dave. I mean, even you got to smile at that one.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not somewhat clever, but you're just a bad guy. I mean, clearly this is not an easy day in Giants Nation, and you come back with that. Just a bad guy. You have nothing to say, right?
He's the NFC East troll. That's who he is.
You really are.
Listen, he's innocent until proven guilty. We have a court of law. We have a system that'll do its job.
Yeah. Sounds like he's going to get out of this with the no issue. All right, let's bring him in. Jordan Renan covers the Giants for us on 98.7 ESPN on ESPN.com, on ESPN television. Jordan, I can't believe we're sitting here having this conversation with you right now on a Friday morning.
Yeah, it wasn't what I was expecting last night when I got a few text messages. I was like, huh? And then I was like, you know, you don't really expect this now. The Giants, there were some things with DeAndre Baker that were concerning his rookie year, but that doesn't mean you expected this. I mean, this is completely next level. You didn't expect something to the severity of what he's facing right now. I mean, you're talking about serious jail time. I mean, there's no way around it. If any of these allegations are true, I mean, armed robbery, four counts of aggravated assault with a firearm, and really one of the most disconcerting things when you read the whole warrant is that there's multiple people saying that DeAndre Baker told a man wearing a red mask to shoot someone as they entered the room at one point.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Listen, you don't expect something like this, but if the overwhelming thought of DeAndre Baker inside that building is he's dumb as dirt. I mean, this is the definition as dumb as dirt. Like to think that this is something that you should participate in. So what are the Jordan? I mean, big question now is, you know, what do the Giants do here moving forward?
By the way, that's not a quote that I would use or that I actually had heard from anyone. So I will say that the dumb as dirt. That's not something that. Look, I dug a lot into DeAndre Baker last year because there was things that kept popping up. And to be honest with you, dumb is not one of them that came up.
Oh, it was reported today. I mean, that was a quote in the Post this morning. that someone that Tony Pauline down at the Senior Bowl was told by someone with the Giants that DeAndre Baker was dumb as dirt. I'm just telling you what's in the paper.
That's not a quote that I received.
Okay, fine. Listen. But I mean, the fact that he just did what he did would kind of speak to being pretty dumb. So what do the Giants do now moving forward with DeAndre Baker?
I mean, they could just let this play out legally, right? Because if there's any truth or shred of truth to it, he's not going to be playing football for anyone. He won't be on their roster. He'll be in prison. So I think for the Giants, you sit back right now and you let the legal process play out. There's an arrest warrant out for his arrest right now. As I said, he faces 8 charges. They speak for themselves, the severity of them. The Giants did say they have been in contact with him, and that was yesterday, probably around, 8 o'clock. They had said they had been in contact with him. So they have obviously spoken to him at some point earlier yesterday as they became aware of the situation. So I think they're going to sit back and monitor it right now, and you let the legal process play itself out. And if they look and they look into it and they find even a sliver of this being true, then obviously he won't be on their roster very long, right? I mean, if he pulled a gun and robbed people at a party with witnesses, I don't know how many, but it was considered a party. So there's obviously, this isn't just one person saying it happened, right? This is a whole group of people saying it happened. Then he won't be on any roster. He will be cut, and he will be in serious legal problems.
Jordan, I guess I got a two-part question then. Do we know if DeAndre Baker is still at large? And if he is, are the Giants involved in trying to negotiate his surrender?
Yeah, what I do know right now is that the Giants have spoken to him, and I don't know exactly what those conversations entail. I do know that as of about 10 o'clock this morning, he was still at large, so was Quentin Dunbar. He had not been arrested, and he had not been turned himself in at that point. So that's all we know right now. He is aware, obviously, if he talked to the Giants, and the police have made it pretty well known, that he's wanted and that these charges are out there, and we'll see how this progresses. But I think it's pretty safe to assume that they're preparing to move forward and have him turn himself in at some point, but we don't really know that definitively.
Jordan Renan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. You said the Giants will just kind of take, or in your mind, will take a sit back and wait and see what happens approach. There's legitimate talent still out there on the open market. Do you think there's any chance the Giants are proactive, assuming that the worst will happen and sign someone in his stead? Or do you think they're going to wait, do nothing until they have a definitive answer here?
I think that they might actually. Look, they're pretty thin at cornerback anyway, right? I mean, even with DeAndre Baker there, the reality was, what did they have at cornerback? They had James Bradbury, who they signed as a free agent, who we know is a real player in this league. And a lot of question marks, a lot of young guys. I mean, you're talking about Sam Beal. Do we know that Sam Beal could play yet? Are we at that point? I don't think so. DeAndre Baker, he played poorly last year. We didn't know if he could play really as a significant starter in this league. They drafted Darnay Holmes in the fourth round this year. We still haven't seen him play. So they have a lot of questions at that position. I mean, Grant Haley, that even beforehand, I was told that they were going to look and, that they were looking at guys, like Logan Ryan. They weren't certainly near the top of the list, but they were definitely monitoring it. So if they were monitoring it then, when they considered DeAndre Baker probably the front runner to be their starter, and now that is obviously severely in jeopardy, if not completely out the window, then yeah, I would expect them to start seriously looking at other alternatives at cornerback, whether it be Logan Ryan or further down that list of other guys that might be available.
Jordan Renan joins us in the show. Jordan, how much extra pressure does this put on Dave Gettleman now?
Yeah, I mean, look, this has to put pressure on him. I mean, there already was this from day one. Let me just tell you the backstory of this. So last year, I had heard stuff before the draft that DeAndre Baker, at times, first of all, the people in Georgia didn't speak that highly of him, the coaches down there, right? This was kind of out there and known. And then you heard from people he he wasn't showing up regularly to his own pre-draft workouts. Okay, so I had heard this, and I had heard it from multiple people at this point. And it's probably like a few weeks, a month before the draft. So I asked a couple people that I'm friendly with different teams, you know, is this guy flagged, blah, blah, blah. You know, do you have concerns about him? And I was told yes. There were several teams that did basically have him flagged. And then I was having a conversation with someone in the Giants organization later on, you know, a few weeks before the draft. And we were just going over some players, and I was telling them, you know, what I had heard on some guys and back and forth. And one of them was DeAndre Baker. And I said, yeah, I heard a bunch of teams have him flagged. And what they said back to me was, oh, I didn't hear anything about that. Our department said everything's fine. So, you know, this now sits on Dave Gettleman's shoulders, right? He's in charge of this whole draft, you know, the whole draft process. He's the man in charge of making the decision. And not only did they drafted this guy who other teams definitely had concerns about, but they traded up to draft him, right? They were about to pick, what, sixth in the second round? And they moved up to number 30 mm-hmm. just because they liked him that much that they didn't even want to wait. What is that eight-pick stretch? That they didn't even want to risk waiting eight picks. Now, there was obviously risk that came with DeAndre Baker. That's why DeAndre Baker was there with the 30th pick in the first place. So, yeah, this definitely is going to – this is going to be, you know, something the Giants look at and say, hey, Dave, you know, what do we do here? And nothing that happened last year – alleviated their concerns. I mean, there was plenty of things throughout the year. There was his effort on a Demaryius Thomas catch. He was called out in front of the entire team at one point. I believe it was Pat Shurmur who they basically showed tape of him in front of the whole entire team, and they ripped him a new one because his effort wasn't there. There were times where it's pretty well known that he was sleeping in meetings from people I talked to. He had to stand up at some point. You know, they had to keep him up in meetings. They made him stand up. And so you put all these things together, his attitude, it really started wearing on the veterans, and I had kept hearing about it over and over about how his attitude wasn't what they were looking for and what they expected. And, yeah, so you got to look at it and say, we drafted this guy. There's obviously things here. What were we doing throughout the process that we didn't recognize this beforehand? And then that falls on Gettleman's shoulders.
Jordan, I want to shift gears and talk about guys that are actually going to be on the field for the Giants this upcoming season. Joe Judge made some headlines earlier this week, and he said that the Giants are going to be running a completely new offense. It's going to be nothing like what they saw under Pat Shurmur. It's going to be more like what we saw from Jason Garrett-led Dallas Cowboys offenses. So I want to ask you, do we have any insight into the initial thoughts from Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley about the offense they're going to be running?
Yeah, they really wouldn't get into too much detail of, like, what they see. I mean, from what I've been told, here's what you could expect from the running game. You could expect a lot more pulling linemen, right? A lot more getting out into space. And I went and looked up the numbers, and Ezekiel Elliott, and I looked at Ezekiel Elliott compared to, you know, Saquon Barkley the past 2 years, and because Saquon's been in the league 2 years. So they were very close in regards to runs, whether it's, you know, inside, right, that considers the guards and at the center.
Yeah.
They were within, like, 17 carries there. But on as regards to getting outside and runs outside the tackle, Zeke had, like, 120 more carries outside. So, and I think that's something that you're going to see a lot with Saquon, and I think that intrigues him because if you can get him out into space with that size and speed, that's where he can do the most damage. And if they could do that, whether it be on screens, on outside zone runs, and get him moving, I think that'll benefit the Giants greatly. And what Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley said was that what excites us about this offense is that we've seen the success that it's had and that those players have had, meaning, you know, the Tony Romos, Dak Prescott, and Ezekiel Elliott. And say what you want about Jason Garrett. You look at the numbers in regards to yards per play. In his 13 years in Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys have been top half of the league in yards per play in 12 of those 13 seasons. So I think that they look at this as he's had success, and we are excited about the possibility of basically playing the roles of those guys I've just named, the Ezekiel Elliotts of the world.
All right, Jordan. Well, listen, I wish it was better circumstances we had this conversation, but as always, we appreciate you joining us to break down what's going on with Big Blue. Now, you have a big podcast that's launching today, right?
Yeah, it was obviously taped before the DeAndre Baker thing went down, but talk to Mike Clay. I don't know if you guys know. I don't know if you know Mike Clay.
Oh, I know Mike Clay. Yeah, big fantasy
guy. Mike Clay does these awesome projections every year where he basically puts every player in the league into his formula and his algorithm and comes out and produces projections, and it's always a fun thing to look at and exercise. So,
all right,
so Breaking Big Blue. Go look for
Breaking Big Blue. We'll take a listen to it. Jordan, thanks, man. Stay safe.
All right, guys. Stay safe. Speak soon.
All right. That of course, is Jordan Renan, who's giving us the breakdown of where we are with DeAndre Baker, which is just an unbelievable story to be covering here on a Friday morning. Now, today on ESPN Daily, before the Bulls won their 98th title, they won a grueling series against the Indiana Pacers. Jalen Rose recalls going up against Jordan in that series and why he sees MJ as the greatest. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, was on CNN, a little town hall meeting last night. Guys, let's take a little bit of a listen to this on hoping to save the 2020 Major League Baseball season.
I think it's hopeful that we will have some Major League Baseball this summer. We are making plans about playing in empty stadiums. But as I've said before, all of those plans are dependent on what the public health situation is and us reaching the conclusion that it'll be safe for our players and other employees to come back to work.
Well, I mean, we're all hopeful. That's for sure. And it did sound like we're moving in that direction. And if you hear the K show, he's the one that says, and Michael says he has sources that say, this is going to all be about the financial ramifications, that they're going to find a way to get all the I's dotted, T's crossed for the other things, and it'll come down to finances to get this thing done.
Finances will be the biggest hurdle.
Yep.
And I can't imagine, I mean, when you start talking about the amount of money that we're talking about in, you know, $4 billion for the owners, which I thought was funny, too, because the owners are always talking about money, but no one has the same kind of reaction as they did to Blake Snell.
Exactly, man. I don't get that.
Well, what I thought was funny, though, so the owners are going to lose $4 billion. So I was looking this morning, and I was talking to Ray Deanahan. Well, how much are the players going to lose if there's no season? Just about $4 billion. And, I mean, are the owners losing, I mean, $4 billion of the $10 billion, the $10.5 billion that they made last year, so they're still making $6.5 billion? Because I think if they were going to lose, you know, if the season was canceled, right, and the total loss was, because they'd have no revenues coming in, was going to be around $14 billion as opposed to $4 billion. Wouldn't they have said $14 billion? Why wouldn't they just say $4 billion?
100%. It's 100%. I mean, the owners are saying if we're not making what we're accustomed to making, then we're taking the $4 billion loss, and that's not fair to us. The players should absorb some of that loss. Well, to me, based on the agreement that they made several weeks ago, the players taking prorated salaries for only playing half the season, that's the loss that they're taking. The players aren't going to recoup that money. I don't understand why folks want to put the onus on the players to bear the brunt of the financial implications in this situation where the billionaire owners are in better position because they have more resources and they have more money. I mean, the owners... Here's the thing, man. The owners are passing the L on to the players and the employees, and I just don't feel like that's fair. Nobody's talking about what Buster Olney told us yesterday, the fact that Major League Baseball is expecting massive layoffs because the owners don't want to operate the clubs in the red this year. The owners don't want to have to deal with taking any of the financial hit, and they want to pass that on to all of their employees. How is that the right thing to do in the middle of a pandemic?
Yeah, but Chris, here's the question, though. I mean, he said $4 billion, right? You know, last year, revenue in Major League
Baseball. Forbes said that baseball is a $10.5 billion business last year.
Exactly right. So you're talking about if the season is canceled, you have, you know, $133 million losses for all these teams. Well, the Yankees made $683 million in 2019. So are they still going to make, I mean, does that mean that the 683, now it's plus the 133, or is it the 133 minus, you know, what they made or what they're accustomed to making.
Rick, you know the answer to that question. You know the answer to that question.
Well, exactly right. But, I mean, that's it. We're talking about transparency and everything else. Well, then Major League Baseball is not going to give you as the fan transparency. And they, I mean, and usually don't ever give the unions the transparency of what they're actually making.
Yeah, Rob Manfred being on that CNN town hall last night was just more litigation in the court of public opinion. They're just continuing to press and press and press and try to paint the players out to be villains in this situation. Everybody's jumping on it, hook, line, and sinker. Everybody wants to vilify Blake Snell for expressing all the things that the players are talking about behind the scenes. Nobody is focusing on the fact that the players are at the negotiating table with the billionaires who are trying to do the same damn thing, which is to protect their bottom line.
It's never going to happen. I mean, the public is never going to take the side.
But why is that never
going to
happen, Dave? Why do we want to criticize the employee and not the employer? Why do we want to jump down the players' throats when the owners are asking the players to take more risk than they usually take for a lot less pay? Yeah, why are we doing that?
Listen, because
the employee is also the product, Chris. And what we want right now is the product. That's why.
Yeah, but we can have the product if the owners just decide to honor the agreement that they came to a couple of weeks ago. I mean, Michael Kay is the one that's always screaming about how players sign a contract. They shouldn't hold out. They should honor that contract. Well, what the hell are the owners supposed to do? Shouldn't they honor the agreement that they came to with the players? I don't get that. I don't get that. It just doesn't make sense to me. It fires me up.
All right, let's continue to listen to Rob Manfred.
Well, time out, David. It fires the players up. I mean, you heard what Bryce Harper had to say. I mean, listen, Blake Snell, did he say it the right way? Absolutely not. Should he have said it the way that he said it?
No,
he shouldn't have. Whenever you make it about money, you're going to look like the bad guy. But having heard what Bryce Harper had to say about it.
See, that's the part I also disagree with everybody slightly, Rick. I don't think Blake Snell was making it about money. I think Blake Snell was trying to point out the fact that they're taking on an inordinate amount of risk for a lot less pay. And in that situation where you're taking on the kind of risk that we're talking about associated with the coronavirus, you should be at least talking about making the same thing, if not more money. Usually on jobs, when they ask you to take more risk, they give you more money. It's called hazard pay. In this situation, the owners are propositioning the players and they're saying, you know what? Well, we knew that you were going to take a pay cut because you're playing half the games. But on top of that pay cut, we also want you to take another cut. And we don't know exactly what that looks like because we don't know how much money that we're going to make. But we promise you guys, we're going to split it right down the middle with you. Just trust us. Why shouldn't they trust you?
Well, they don't. They don't trust you. But, I mean, again, listen, you're making great points. But you lived it. I mean, anytime you mention money as a player, you're going to lose that battle.
I'm just tired of people being intellectually lazy and trying to frame the players as the villains in this situation.
Well, you're not going to change their
minds. Just think about it a little bit. It's not like I'm asking you to think about a concept that's outside of the box. It's not something that's foreign to anybody. Everybody knows that if somebody wants you to do something more risky, in order to even consider it, you have to be compensated a little bit more. The owners are asking the players to take more risk and get less pay. That's simple. That's not hard to understand.
No, listen, you're preaching to the choir. I get what you're saying. I think, as far as the players are concerned, and when you listen to Scott Boras talk, I mean, he's motivated to get the guys on the field and playing because if they don't play, he doesn't get paid. So, I mean, he has his own ulterior motives. But for someone like Blake Snell, for example, right? Like, Blake Snell is supposed to make $7 million this year. So leading into 2020, and he's already won a Cy Young, he's made $6 million. Okay? So you're asking a guy who's only made $6 million, and that's a lot of money. I get it, right? He's made $6 million. So his worth, and that's before taxes and everything. Let's just say he's worth in his bank $3 million. So you're asking a guy who's worth, we'll say, upper end, right, $3 million, to take a $3.5 million pay cut to start because it's only going to be 82 games, and then on top of that, whatever decision is made as far as revenue sharing is concerned. So he's going to take a haircut. So a guy who's worth $3 million is going to take a $3.5 million pay cut. But you're talking about if baseball is canceled. You're talking about these teams, like the Tampa Bay Rays, who made $264 million last year to lose $133 million. Or the New York Yankees to take, a loss of $133 million when the Yankees are worth $5 billion. Does that make a lot of sense?
Doesn't make a lot of sense, Rico. It doesn't. It seems like it's completely unfair.
But no one's ever going to take the side of guys complaining about making less than $3 million or $4 million a year.
No,
ever.
No, you're right, Dave. They're not going to take the side because they don't understand why you wouldn't be willing to go to work for that amount of money, because they could not fathom being even offered that amount of money. But nobody talks about how much the billionaires are making. Nobody wants to talk about the employers doing everything that they can to protect their bottom line, including firing people and taking away the match program for folks' 401k. Nobody wants to talk about
Which
those things.
Which is disgusting, by the way.
It is. And I thought Trevor Bauer, who, and I know this is going to sound crazy because I don't side with a lot of things that Trevor Bauer says on his Twitter account, but I thought he did a great job of using an analogy to outline the situation that the players are in. He said, let's say you're a painter. A client who is renovating apartments says he will pay you $100,000 this year for your painting services. You agree and sign a contract. You expect to be paid $100K. The client then experiences a fire and loses half the apartments in the building. This is not your fault, but it's not the client's fault either, so you mutually agree that you'll accept $50K instead of $100K as a show of good faith. A new contract is signed. Then the client realizes they won't be able to rent as many of their apartments as they originally thought. So they propose that instead of paying you $50K, they'll pay you half of their rental income. You have no idea how much their rental income is, and they won't disclose it. The question then becomes, is it your fault as the painter that the client cannot rent his property? You've done the same quality of work and even worked with the client to reflect doing less overall work. Is it fair for the client to now want you, as the painter, to share the burden of not being able to rent the apartments? Are your services worth less because the client cannot rent the apartments?
And on top of that, the client wants you to use lead-based paint to paint
exactly.
the apartments.
Exactly. Again, it's not a concept that's foreign to people. It's not a concept that's foreign to the working class. People understand when you take on a lot more risk in your jobs, you're expecting to be compensated as such, or at least at the same level that you were before. In this situation, the owners not only are saying that they're not going to pay the players more, they're expecting the players to take less than the agreement that they came to a couple of weeks ago.
But it always comes back to the biggest issue right now with, you know, what's going on with the union and the owners in all the sports. Maybe not as much the NBA, because that seems more like a partnership than any of the sports is. There is no trust and there is no transparency. In order to agree to a 50-50 split, you have to know the actual number that you're splitting. Like, what am I getting 50% of? And I'm not sure the owners are going to be willing to disclose that, because they haven't in the past.
No, I don't think they will. I don't think they will.
Okay, so, how do you feel good about that?
I actually think if they came to the table and said, guys, we will disclose everything, that there's a better chance that the players would say, okay, you know what, at least they're bringing something to the table.
Yeah, at least it's in good faith.
Right? But right at least they're trying to handle this thing out of honor, out of doing the right thing.
Yeah, but how would you feel that way? I mean, as a player, you're not going to feel that way, because you know exactly why the 50-50 revenue split was leaked in the first place. Was to back you in a corner and make you look like the bad guy.
Of course. And then you took the bait.
Yeah.
Let's go to Tom in Levittown. Tom, you're next up on 98.7.
Yeah, I'm calling about how Chris is saying how the owners want to renegotiate. But in all fairness, the players always do that. And I'm not saying I'm pro-owner here, but this is the one chance the owners get now where they can hold a player over a barrel. The owners can't go to a player and say, well, you only hit 220 last year and you didn't hit 20 home runs, I'm paying you $15 million, I should now pay you $5 million. The owners don't get that luxury. They have to honor the contracts always. The players never have to, because they can hold out and demand more money.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. I thought the owners and the players several weeks ago came to an agreement on how they were going to handle the finances for 2020.
And take like any player in any sport. They signed the contract last year. Or now all of a sudden my stats are much better. I'm not going to show up to training camp the following year.
Most of the time we see that with football players, and they're the only professional athletes in team sports in North America that don't have guaranteed contracts. So I think you're talking about a completely different thing. I don't know that we can assign that to this situation.
Baseball players have held out.
I'm not saying that that's not true, but we're talking about the players' union and the owners coming to an agreement about how they're going to handle play in a crisis situation. We're dealing with a pandemic, and players' well-being is being jeopardized. This is an inordinate amount of risk for baseball players in comparison to what they're... Hold on, let me finish talking. Tom, let me finish talking. I'll let you say your piece, but you have to let me finish talking. Okay. The players are taking on an inordinate amount of risk in comparison to what they usually have to deal with. We don't have as much information about the coronavirus, how to deal with it, how to treat it. We don't know the long-term effects of it. And so the players are jeopardizing their health and well-being, not only in the short term, but potentially long term. What are the owners risking in this situation? They're not risking their health. So why do they then have the right to go back on an agreement that they made several weeks ago with the players? Because this is the chance that they got to hold the players over a barrel? So it's fair for the owners to be opportunists in a pandemic situation? How is that right?
Well, just like you said, though, a few weeks ago, a month ago, when they came to this agreement, nobody expected there'd be empty ballparks. No one expected it to go on this long. So the times have changed. It's just like, again, a guy went from being a 250 hitter to a 300 hitter, and now he's holding out and demanding more money because his level of play has changed. They do the same thing. Again, I'm not pro-owner, and the owner, you're right.
Sounds like you're pro-owner. You're making a lot of excuses for him.
No, the owners aren't taking any risk, but it comes off a little hypocritical when if the issue is the risk, the players shouldn't want to play at all. They should just be like, you know, it's not a long-term effect.
Oh, Tom, you're being naive if you're saying that there's not a dollar figure associated with the risk that you're about to take. Every person has that. Every person has a certain dollar figure that they associate with the amount of risk that they're going to take. Period. Every person deals with that. Every person is aware of that. So to say that, well, the players, if it's about worrying about your life, they shouldn't decide to play anyway. That's ridiculous. You can't divorce the two ideas, the amount that you're being compensated versus the risk that you're taking on.
You're talking about rich players. Like, you think Mike Trout's going to care if he gets extra money? I mean, Mike Trout probably cares more about his health and his family.
Every player,
yeah, but he will.
Mike
but
Trout.
Time out. But time out. Here's the other thing, though. Take into account, and I get it. I mean, it's tough because, you know, most of the people that consume sports are employees. They don't. I mean, a lot of people don't own businesses, so it's easier to kind of put yourself in the shoes of an employee. And you know, athletes make a ton of money. The problem with what you're saying is, yeah, Mike Trout makes a ton of money, and he'll be fine. But Mike Trout's only going to get to play baseball and earn this amount of money for a very short period of time. So all the money he loses now, when he retires before the age of 40, like, he'll never see that money again, and he won't make nearly as much money for the rest of his life. So you're still talking about the next, hopefully, he's, you know, he has a long life, the next 40 years where he has no income outside of what he made as a professional baseball player.
He's making more in a season than most people in this country will ever make in their
life.
Yeah,
but Mike Trout isn't most people, man. Mike Trout is not most people. Mike Trout gets paid a premium because he's great at what he does, and he generates revenues for his bosses. That's why Mike Trout gets compensated the way that Mike Trout gets compensated. Mike Trout is not like everyone else. There's only so many people that can do what Mike Trout does. You're talking about maybe the greatest, when it's all said and done, one of the greatest baseball players to ever walk the earth. Don't try to compare yourself to Mike Trout and put yourself in the same situation as Mike Trout. Most professional athletes aren't Mike Trout.
You going to play right now if your career was okay, being that you have two small kids?
Yes. Yes. My wife would make me go play, yeah. I would stay in a hotel and I would go play.
And you'd stay in the hotel, though. Well, that's part of the problem. These players don't want to do that, though, either, in baseball. Maybe because they have their whole season ahead of them or whatever it's going to be, whereas now in the hockey, you only have 15 games ahead of you.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. But here's the thing, though, right? And I appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate your point. But that also goes into not only are we risking our well-being, and you don't have enough answers for us. Yeah, hopefully we're in the age demographic, and we're in great shape, so we'll get through it. But no one really knows. Or if I get it, and I mean, God forbid one of these older managers, like you're seeing what's happening now with Art Howe. What happens if Joe Maddon gets sick? And he, you know, is in intensive care during the season. How does that affect his team and their mindset? And on top of it, you're asking these guys, because when push comes to shove, I know originally they're like, well, we don't want to be away from our families. Listen, my wife would tell me, you're going back to play. You're not going to be around us because I have two young kids and we don't want to get them sick. So you're going to sacrifice that too. your health and also being with your family. What is that worth to you? How much money?
But I think the point in what you're saying is how much money is enough to justify that risk. It's different for each individual player.
Exactly right.
And we can't say that if given the choice that we would do this, so they should do this. That's not how this works. It's up to each player to decide whether or not the money is worth them going out there and taking the risk that they would take during this baseball season. Now, I think Rod Manfred did the right thing in saying that if players don't want to come in and play because they don't feel like it's safe, then we're not going to make them come in and play. I think that's the right approach to have. But what we can't do as the public is say that, these guys, because they don't want to play for the amount of money that the owners are putting on the table, they're being greedy. I just don't understand why the athletes should have the mentality that we should accept whatever proposition the owners put on the table after they thought that they came to an agreement with the owners several weeks ago about how they were going to handle the finances of this situation.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.